Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm JP sitting alongside Allison here from the Right Side Studios from the Treehouse. Which, by the way, did you see Daryl today?
No.
Yeah. When I was here this weekend moving stuff into the Treehouse, he wasn't there.
Do you think his girlfriend came back?
Maybe. Maybe his divorce ended and he's now back. But I don't know.
You think he was just in the doghouse for a while?
He may have been, but he was hanging out with us. But our mascot has left us, Daryl.
I have a feeling he might be back.
Maybe we should give it a couple of days, see if Daryl changes his mind and comes on back.
I'm really happy for him if he is gone, because he was always lonely and seemed a little angry.
He did. He was always squawking at me. And like, yeah. Dude, chill out. It's not my fault your wife left you. My bad.
God didn't design us to live on our own.
No.
Even the geese.
Well, 833-687-4448 is the text line number, by the way. If y'all want to text in, let us know your thoughts and whatever we're talking about throughout the show. We'd greatly appreciate that, and you'll get your text read out on air if it is radio appropriate. But first, what do you want to start with the montage and the topics? MTG resigning. We got Trump and Mom Donnie being besties. You got H-1Bs, Epstein.
You choose.
I think MTG resigning is a major story. Already.
Well, I would like to actually, well, all right, let's dissect what the heck happened.
Mm-hmm.
I have a few, some people in my orbit are like, she was a traitor, all the things that Donald Trump said. Some people in my orbit, it's kind of the Nick Fuentes, Tucker Carlson thing, are like, no, the swamp shut her down, she got shut out. Donald Trump is playing both sides. He's part of the Unipart. Like, they're starting to kind of crack. Like Tim Dillon. Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Was saying he's really close to walking out on Trump, which is crazy.
It is.
So where do you fall, and what do you think's going on?
Okay, well, I think it's nuanced. I'll say this. I don't like either side of it, because I really don't trust MTG and her motives with all this, because it seemed really inauthentic. So
tell me what you heard, or what did she say? Why she left?
Why she left? She essentially said that it was. So I think the most interesting part of why she said she left was that there's no 4D chess plan from the Republicans to help save America, and pretty much saying that the swamp has taken over the GOP and that there's really no saving it. There's no master plan. Kind of insinuating that Trump is being used by the swamp, and the Republicans in the Congress are not actually trying to fight for Americans. They're just trying to get reelected, yada, yada, yada. And that's why, you know, she says she can't take it anymore. She's leaving. That, and it really all started with her dissenting with Trump over the, like, Epstein files, Israel, other stuff like that. And Trump disavowed her and pulled his endorsement. And then what was it, like 5 days later after Trump did that, she withdrew from Congress and resigned. So the timing is interesting. So I don't trust her motives. It seemed really inauthentic. Oh, another interesting piece about this. She's resigning 2 days after her federal pension kicks in.
Yeah.
So
I did not like that part.
I don't like either side of it, because I think Marjorie Taylor Greene saw the split that was happening. And I think she thought that the future of the GOP was the side that she took of the America First, anti-foreign aid, release the Epstein files, kind of joining alongside Thomas Massie. But Massie has been what he is now his entire Congress career. MTG, it seemed really inauthentic. It seemed like she was jumping on a bandwagon and doing the hurrah, hurrah thing. And it was like she was doing it for her own political aspirations. But on the other side also, I don't think the reasoning for why Trump disavowed her was very good either, because it seemed like he was siding with the swamp over, and I'm not saying I'm pro MTG, but his reasoning for disavowing MTG, I didn't like, of anti Epstein file release, pro foreign aid, you know, that sort of thing. So I don't like either side of it, but yeah, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene pulled her name out because she has presidential aspirations. She didn't want to go through an ugly primary because it would have damaged her reputation. I think she's saving herself long-term for another political run of some sort. That's my read on it.
So MTG, the past few weeks, I would say 4 or 5, maybe up to past 2 months, like her going on The View and a few things like that, I started going, I almost wondered if she was about to join the Democrat Party. I mean, it was weird what she was doing. She went back and said, you know, I was very mean to some people and that was foolish of me. She talked about Q. Do you remember her talking about that Q, she felt really stupid because, which, okay, yeah, mm-hmm. I get that.
Yeah.
But she just started backtracking on a lot of the things, kind of the hardline things that she had stood for. In her defense, I think a lot of people that run for Congress do it for the right reasons and they're very ideological about what it's going to be like when you get up there. And I by no means have spent a lot of time in D.C., but I am very close to people that have and do. And it is, you're basically a talking head. Maybe if you're a senator, you've got a little bit more, but in the House, everything is already planned out for you. You can cause a stir. You can bring attention to things, but nothing gets put into motion. Nothing gets passed unless the people up here, which again, I'm not quite sure who it is because she talked about, you know, the uniparty and there's no 4D chess and there's none of that. I couldn't tell if she was saying Trump, you said she thinks Trump is being played. I took it as Trump is playing us.
Yeah. I think it's kind of one and the same ish. But yeah.
So, I mean, I guess the end result is the same.
Yeah, I guess the question is, how much of a role do you think Trump is playing in it? Or do you think Trump is the problem? I guess is the question. Like, does Trump have good intentions, but he's being flattered by the wrong people and, you know, just kind of being misled? Or is Trump genuinely trying to, is Trump the swamp? I guess is the question.
Yeah.
Is Trump being played by the swamp? Or is MTG saying that Trump is the swamp? Either way, it's kind of the same result. But I don't know. I think it's more of her, I think this was a political decision long term. Rather, I think her statement was red meat to the people who support her. I think she knew she probably wasn't going to win a primary if Trump was going after her that hard. And that's the rule. Get her federal pension, take a break, and then run for president in 2028. That's part of the new MAGA or America First, whatever. Her statement about there's no 4D chess going on, I think she's right. I think a lot of the congressmen, Republicans in the House and the Senate, they're not actually spearheading certain issues as much as we would like. And I think it is because they're playing to special interests. What else is new? You know, it's like the same old Republican Party. But I don't know. I think MTG, I don't trust her motives. I think this was political for long-term stuff.
In the clip that she, or in the video she posted, she also, I think, talked about how stupid it is that since this Congress, we should be passing everything. She's like, all we do is pass stupid resolutions that mean nothing. They passed the big, beautiful bill, and they have done nothing after that.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, what's the point? And I think there's a lot of people in Congress that are feeling the same way, and we don't have time to go into it, but I want to read. She actually responded to the Punch Bowl News report today that there are between 15 and 20 Congress persons that are thinking and contemplating stepping down and resigning. I'll tell you what for, but I think there's definitely a bigger issue going on. And then on the other side, you have the issue of Trump, which might be the issue, but and I think Mike Johnson is a big issue too.
I do too, yeah.
And that is a whole other discussion. I think he's a terrible speaker. I can't speak to his character or his person. He might be a lovely person, but he is a terrible speaker. And I think people are fed up because there's such a breakdown. It's kind of a lot like Alabama. Alabama, the governor's office, there should be very much a separation between the legislature and the governor's office. The governor's office highly, strongly dictates what the legislature here in Alabama does. And I feel like that's a lot of what happens in Washington, where I think you have some more not totally conservatives, but not maybe not Trumpy MAGA, that are like, we have no voice because the White House and the staff dictates everything we do, which goes back to Susie Wiles and all the terrible advisors and people that are elected to Congress. Like, do you know, you remember Marcus Luttrell?
I believe so.
Lone Survivor. Was that it? Or is it all running together? He was Lone Survivor.
I'll look it up.
His brother, Morgan Luttrell, is, I think this is his fourth year, his second term as a congressman. And he's not running again. Kind of the same thing. He's like, this isn't worth it. This is a joke. You know, we're not getting anything done. Those are the people we need there. But it just weeds them out. And they're like, what am I doing spending my time here? Which stinks, because if you don't have those good people running, then it gets even swampier.
Exactly. It's somebody from the top. And when I say from the top, I mean the White House. It does start there, but also like the Mike Johnsons and the others. There's just got to be so many people to go into Congress to outnumber the swamp. I think it's a lot harder of a fight than people realize, but I don't know. We're going to have more people that are willing to shut out the special interests. And that's.
I do worry, though, if you think about where we are. And I know we've got to go to a break. I'm not great at time management. I like to hurkle dirkle. But when Trump is going after Rand Paul, Thomas Massey, and MTG, who in so many ways are my favorite, maybe not my favorites, but I've never thought of them as the enemy.
Yeah.
It's just getting weird.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I don't like the reasoning why Trump, you know, disavowed MTG, because it's such a swampy reason why. Even though, like I said, I don't trust Marjorie Taylor Greene. If he would have disavowed her for other reasons other than wanting to release the Epstein files and foreign aid, yada, 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 yada. It's like, okay.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
We need that from Seinfeld.
Yada, yada, yada.
We got to take a break. When we come back, I want to read this Punch Bowl News article from Jake Sherman and then MTG's response and see what y'all think about it. But we'll be right back. Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm Allison Sinclair with JP. Amy Beth is not here. It's kind of weird.
She's on a deserted island for Thanksgiving.
I hope she makes it back.
She will.
I told her not to get in white vans. Don't talk to strangers.
Well, she is in Mexico, so.
She might not make it back.
Yeah, just don't leave the resort.
Disappear in fine. A white van.
I don't know what the cartel situation is in Cancun.
Yeah, I didn't tell her, but it's kind of sketchy. I just didn't want to say anything. I just always pray, like when we go on vacation, I'm like, okay, God, if we're going to die in a airplane wreck, like let it be on the way back so that we can at least go and have fun.
Yeah, have a one last.
And do the vacation instead of the way there. All right, I really would like to read to you this post from Jake Sherman, who is the head of Punch Bowl News. And then if we have time, it's not that long, Marjorie Taylor Greene's response, because I think it explains a lot. But it's a little bit of reading. Let me put my glasses on because I'm old. Okay, here we go. Now I can see. All right, Jake says, a few GOP members messaged us over the weekend saying they too are considering retiring in the middle of the term. Here's one particularly exercised senior House Republican. This entire White House team has treated all members like garbage, all. And Mike Johnson has let it happen because he wanted it to happen. That is the sentiment of nearly all appropriators, authorizers, hawks, doves, rank and file. Which I don't know what. Somebody tell me what all those things mean.
Yeah, what is
I don't
a dove?
Know who the hawks and doves and.
Oh, I guess war hawks, doves. Like,
oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I got it. Thank you, JP. The arrogance of this White House team is off-putting to members who are run roughshod and threatened. They don't even allow small, little wins, like announcing small grants or even responding from agencies. Not even the high-profile, the regular rank-and-file random members are more upset than ever. It's, I think now even the high-profile, the regular rank-and-file members are more upset than ever. Members know they are going into the minority after the midterms. More explosive resignations are coming. It's a tinderbox. Morale has never been lower. Mike Johnson will be stripped of his gavel, and they will lose the majority before this term is out.
Oof. Well, I mean, I think that's right. Unfortunately, right now, how it stands, Republicans are not going to win the midterms. But I think a lot of it is because they're not getting stuff done. That seems like so simple. And if you have the majority, you just pass, I don't know, bring up single bills on immigration, bring up single bills on, you know, I don't know, housing. It seems like they're not getting anything done in terms of, they passed the one big, beautiful bill, which gave record amount of money to ICE and Border Patrol, but also a lot of money to the military industrial complex and all. But it just seems so, it's like the opportunity of a lifetime where the Republicans controlled every branch, and it's like they're blundering it. But they're blundering it in such a bad way, they're also pissing off the left while doing it. So now there's going to be a massive blue wave in the midterms, and then their opportunity is going to be gone. So I don't blame them for wanting to leave early for that matter, but also if you're leaving early, then you're kind of already giving, you're already kind of giving up. There's still a little bit of time before the midterms to try to get some of this stuff done, but I guess some people are just hopeless that anything's going to get done at this point.
Well, MTG actually a little bit addresses that in her response, but I'm curious what you think about if that senior Republican, doesn't name a name, says that the White House is controlling everything and that Mike Johnson is basically just doing the bidding of the White House, which is very clear that he is doing the bidding of someone. Why is it being passed down that these are the directives?
I mean, in theory, I wouldn't have a problem with that if they were actually getting stuff done. Like,
well, no, but clearly that's what I'm saying. They don't want to get things done. They have the opportunity to. You still have a majority. Now, and MTG talks about this, we're about to go into where you've got to start campaigning. Everybody's going to be very distracted. Your best time is while you have the momentum coming off such a huge win, just start ramming stuff through. Because honestly, you don't really have a choice. It's a little bit like the filibuster. Just take the wins and do what you can. But you can't rule and govern off executive orders. They basically mean nothing. They mean something, but they're basically nothing. Until it's codified, you really don't have anything that cannot easily be overturned in the next administration. So essentially, we've done nothing.
And we saw it too with the Doge situation. Why was it so hard? Okay, so we've codified what, a couple billion of the Doge rescissions, and it was the PBS and it was public broadcasting and another NPR. That package was passed, and that's really it. And actually, Ron DeSantis put up a tweet and said something about how Doge fought the swamp and the swamp won, because first of all, Elon only found 100 billion or so of waste instead of a trillion, like he said he wanted to. And then even of the 100 billion they found, they only codified like a couple billion of that.
Right.
So it's like somebody is not some, I don't know who it is, if it's in the White House or it's in the Congress, some swamp figure is not letting this stuff happen. It's disappointing.
But does it matter?
It doesn't matter.
Because either way, it's not happening. And when you're Speaker of the House and you're President of the United States,
you ram it
through. Stops with you.
Mm-hmm.
Or it starts with you.
It's true.
Whew. I'll read Marjorie Taylor Greene's response on the other side, but we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm JP here sitting alongside Allison while Amy Beth is off vacationing for Thanksgiving week. But we still got a great show for you today. Real quick, 833-687-4448. That is the text line number. Text in. Let us know your thoughts. We've been talking mostly about the MTG Trump fallout thus far in the show. We got a couple of texts about that. Lewis from Trinity, Alabama says, two things I just want to say. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. All these people who think they're going to leave because it's not going their way, my thoughts are not true conservative. You don't think you're going to get reelected for doing things that people want, then just stay there and then quit after your time is up. Secondly, Trump's been trying to do a lot, but the judges are stepping in his way. I would agree with that, yeah. But I think what we're talking about is in terms of actually passing legislation. Like, why is certain legislation not getting passed? And who is blocking, you know, certain things? Like the Doge one, like I said earlier, is a perfect example. How hard is it each week we get a package of Doge that gets passed. Go through the rescissions process, get it, you know, approved through committee, and then bring it to the floor and pass it. We only had one of those, and that was the PBS and NPR thing. Why? Although it's only $100 billion of, you know, how much our national debt is, that's something easy. But we can't even get that done. So who's blocking it? Who's stopping that legislatively, you know, stuff getting done? I agree with the judges part for sure. Trump's getting held up with a lot of things from activist judges. But in terms of passing legislation, when we have the majority in all three branches, who is stopping that from happening? It's frustrating nonetheless.
There's really no excuse.
We got also Mike from Florence, Alabama says, might be the one big beautiful bill backfiring, passing too much in one bill and not getting it all done. We might not have gotten everything we wanted with single bills, but we could have seen who supported what and based future votes on that.
I'm all for single subject bills.
Yeah, I would be too. But I think the omnibus, you know, bills can be an asset in theory. But then you get poison pills put in there by people like Mitch McConnell and others that want to sabotage for whatever reason. But it is frustrating that the single bills, that's just, yeah. I wish we could do that, but there's no, there's no get to it. There's nothing encouraging Congress to do that for whatever reason.
It's really frustrating, though. Well, you look at what happened with the opening back up the government and what did apparently Mark Wayne Mullen, which is weird because he wasn't even, maybe he was, that put the $500,000 payback from the DOJ.
Yeah.
The Arctic Frost that, yeah. Tommy Tuberville and Marsha Blackburn. You know, you slide that stuff in, you know it's going to get passed because nobody's going to not vote to open the government. And then things like what happened to Mo Brooks, if you remember the NDAA, you might not remember this from years ago. They used it against him because he voted against the NDAA. And when he was running for Senate, they used it against him. Like, he hates our military. He doesn't want to fund our military. He hates America, blah, 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 blah. Well, no. In that giant bill, there were red flag laws, and there were laws for drafting our daughters. So Mo Brooks actually stood firm on some key issues, but again, they can use it against you. And that's where they get you, because you have to say yes to the big, beautiful bill or you hate America.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, there's all this other garbage in there that you probably didn't want. It stinks.
It does. And by the way, when we talk about, you know, the White House pressuring Congress, obviously that's a lot more than just President Trump. That's his team around him. That's folks like Susie Wiles. That's folks like, you know, his advisors around him that may be sabotaging things from within. So the thing is with Trump, I mean, in a lot of ways, the president is his team. Obviously, the president has to make executive, you know, decisions, but he relies on his team around him because he's the president. Like, he can't do everything. So he relies on folks like Susie Wiles and others. And if there's other people in the White House other than Trump that are putting their weight on certain, you know, members of Congress to not do this or do this or don't do that, that's a problem when they're going against things that, you know, Trump ran on. Like, I don't know, certain bills like citizens who weren't born here can't run for office. I don't know. That seems like something that could be brought to the floor and would pass in a GOP, you know, Congress. But why? Like, there's so many layups like that in the Doge rescissions. I say again, like, who in the White House other than Trump is putting their weight on Congress to not get this stuff done? Because there is a GOP swamp for sure. I know we all know that, but it's not just the, you know, Nancy Pelosi's and such. Like, there's a GOP swamp as well that appears to be fighting at every turn to keep, you know, certain stuff from being done. It's frustrating, but that it kind of leads to the bigger question of, has MAGA been infiltrated by certain people that are sabotaging things when we had such a great opportunity before the midterms, but now it looks like we're just going to get crushed in the midterms because not much got done.
I can give Trump a pass his first term. He had never been in Washington. He had never been in state government. Okay, fine. But you don't get a pass, I don't think, your second term. Personnel is policy. Who you hire is what you're going to get. Their worldview, their moral compass is what you're going to get. I guess maybe the only thing I can give you a pass on is if by chance they were like extorted or compromised after they got into that office, which might be what's happening. But he knows better by now with all he's gone through. So things aren't getting done for a reason. I don't know what it is, but somebody, and you can't but not blame it on Republicans when you have all three. You've got two chambers in the White House.
Yeah. Like,
so
it was such a great opportunity to put the left down and out in terms of pass so much legislation that even if they did win in the midterms, so much got done beforehand that they're fighting from behind because so much got done between 2024 and 2026, like technically 2025, January 2025, and then 2026. And that opportunity was just, you know, not taken advantage of. I don't know.
Isn't it what Republicans always do?
Oh, yeah. Snatching or defeat from the jaws of victory every time.
Every time. We do it in Alabama. We, you know, right now in Alabama, we're all, I mean, we're a super majority, but we got to be fair to the Democrats. Okay? Mm-hmm. We got to allow them to pass some things because when they're in charge, we want them to allow us. Yeah, it never works like that. They are never that nice. They never play fair. So I'm a Christian and I love Jesus and all, but we play to win.
Exactly.
Or we should, but we don't.
Well, God uses people and their actions. And if people don't act, then God can't do anything with it. I mean, I'm not saying God can't do anything with it, but he uses people to go and act out his will.
Right.
So we have to play to win. You still
have to go push the button on the legislation mm-hmm. and make the right choice because God chose to put you there. I, real quick, and we might not have time to make a response to this, but I want to read Marjorie Taylor Greene's response to the Punch Bowl article to these other Republicans potentially resigning before their term is up. She says, fact check true, but it's worse than people inside the bubble know when you talk to real Americans outside of the wicked snow globe of Washington, D.C. Myself and many of my colleagues came courageously roaring into 2025 with legislation that matched the 2024 electoral mandate, only to be totally sidelined by Johnson under full obedience of the White House. Executive orders are temporary. My colleagues constantly are trying to pass loyalty tests instead of demanding what is right, and that won't help Americans pay their rent or stop corporations from buying up homes, buying their groceries, provide good paying jobs, and stop foreigners with visas from stealing their jobs, stop American tax dollars from funding foreign wars and causes. And it also won't help rebuild the value of the dollar. Passing effective legislation that gets signed into law is permanent and actually solves Americans' problems. She goes on to say, the uniparty always wins no matter which way the political pendulum swings, leaving the American people empty-handed. What is the convincing message for 2026 and likely 2028? It will be American people asking candidates, what tangible thing have you done for me and how did it make my life better? Serious changes are needed and words are unconvincing.
I think a lot of that is true. Why don't we have a bill that bans BlackRock from buying up single-family homes? The Republicans love to talk about that, but then when it's time to actually make legislation for it, it doesn't happen. Because that's not capitalistic. We can't have a free market, you know, if we do. Like, come on. It's just stuff along those lines that's, you know, they all seem to be a part of it with their, you know, when they say it with their mouths, but then they don't actually do it.
It's a lot like what happens in Alabama. And, you know, their palm cards read, I'm a Christian conservative, and they're with a gun out in front of the church with three babies and a big cross in the background on a tractor with what, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's the stereotypical Southern conservative. And then they get in office, and it's like they've forgotten who they... I just want you to be who you say you're going to be when we elect you.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not that difficult.
Yeah,
just be that person. And it'll all work out fine. But for some reason, it just doesn't. So I know we got to take a break. We've got Mondami and Trump, their love fest. We've got Kristi Noem and some biometrics coming a la Patriot Act, your airport, H-1B, Epstein. You put together a banger. We've got a lot to do. So we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.